glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, August 22nd, 2024. I'm your host, Donna Leland. Have you ever heard of the word hygge? Well, it's a Danish word. And our guest today is Jamie Erickson. She's the author of Holy Hygge, published by Moody Publishers. Welcome, Jamie, to Mark and Friends.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Give us a definition. What is hygge?
Well, as you mentioned, hygge is a Danish word, and we actually don't have an English translation for it. It mostly engenders feelings of coziness and contentment. If you just think about that feeling that you get when somebody brings a warm blanket and a cup of hot cocoa to you on a cold day, that's kind of encapsulating the idea or the concept of hygge. But it is a lifestyle concept that the Danish people have been embracing for hundreds of years, and it has kind of made its way over across the pond to us.
Now, it's really been trending on social media. Everybody is about the hygge, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely. It's got, you know, millions of hashtags on Instagram at this point.
What do you think that is? Why are people so drawn to that concept?
Because I think there's something in us, and as a Christ follower, I would say it's a desire to be seen and known by my Creator, but there's something in all of humanity that wants to be cocooned in this, what I would call sanctuary lifestyle of feeling coziness and contentment, especially when it feels like the world is on fire right now.
That's so true. So give us some ideas on how to create the hygge, just like say on a practical level, and then we'll jump into the holy aspect.
Sure. Well, I think it's important to recognize that there are seven main tenets of hygge. So when you're trying to replicate a hyggely lifestyle, you want to think about things like hospitality, the relationships that you have, your well-being as well as the well-being of others, atmosphere, comfort, contentment, and rest. And so I think if you look at all seven of those things, you see them mirrored and played out in the life of Christ, as well as when you think about how you can replicate those in your home, you see them mirrored in the very first home of the Garden of Eden. And so that's really what we're about. Now, you mentioned how popular hygge has become, and you know, you can see it on the Target shelves, you can see it on Instagram, you can see it online, you can buy a prepackaged box of hygge on Amazon if you want. But I think that all of those are such temporary band-aids, kind of like a placebo to bring us comfort and contentment. But I do think that there are some outward things that we can implement in our homes and in our lives that will have inward effects.
Tell us about it. What are some of them?
Well, I'll start with hospitality. You know, the world is looking to be seen and known, just as I had mentioned before. And as a believer, I know who they need. And so if I am willing to open my door and welcome them in with a Christ-like hospitality, and I actually like to refer to that as a scruffy hospitality, where I'm not trying to create perfection in my home. I'm not trying to sterilize it or make it look Instagram worthy. I'm merely welcoming them into my real life, my real hopes, my real problems, and then welcoming theirs as well. That's what everyone wants. And so really, it's just a matter of saying, I'm making a pot of soup. Come on over, and being open-handed with your hospitality.
That's so great. You know, I had a chance to experience that. We invited a speaker to our church, and he came with his entourage, his wife and five kids, and then a couple friends even showed up because he told them he'd be preaching. You know, we have this little teeny tiny church. And so I thought, you know what, Lord, I'm going to invite them all back after church. I have not done that forever. And so he was shocked, and so was his wife, like, really? You want us all to come over? And I'm like, yeah, and bring your friends. So I just set up some sandwich makings. You know, I got some buns, threw out some condiments and some pickles, cut up some cucumbers, and it was not. I laid it out on my kitchen counter, and we all grabbed it, and the kids all ate, and it was delightful. But then the huga spilled over into my backyard, and that we have chickens, and these are little city kids, so they were running around, and it was delightful chasing my chickens. Hilarious. Mm-hmm. And they grabbed the chicken, and they were able to actually, like, be chicken whisperers. And they held it and stroked it, and it was the cutest thing. And so,
and it probably didn't cost you much, but a little bit of time and a few dollars to throw out, you know, sandwiches. You know, if we think about the fact that all of humanity is homeless, we are all longing for the home of heaven. And there's this ache in us. We're all nomads just desperately trying to feel that garden-like comfort and that to fulfill that longing for home. You know, you did sandwiches. What if I were to challenge you to think about how you can replicate that same moment, maybe once a month or even once a season? If you just say, I'm going to make the first Sunday of every month my hospitality day, where I just kind of lather, rinse, repeat that same sandwich experience, you know, and you can literally serve those same sandwiches again, because your guests will be different even if the meal is the same. So if you have sort of a template in mind of, this is the date that I'm going to do this every season or every quarter or every month, I'm going to serve these items, so you know you'll always have them at on hand or at the ready, and you just sort of replicate that again and again with a new crop of people. You know, it's really easy for us to reach for our friends and our family because they feel comfortable and they know us. But the hospitality that we see in scripture is actually geared towards the outsiders, the outliers, the travelers, the wanderers, because the hospitality of God's people should mirror the hospitality that he showed them when they were coming out of Egypt and needed a place and needed a home.
That's so
really
beautiful.
The call and command that he gives us.
You know, God put it in my heart, because our church is so small. I'm like, you know, Lord, I'm going to invite anyone who comes to visit over to my house. And I think that shocks people, that really you're inviting us over. I don't even know you. But I want to get to know them. And so I'm going to try and up my game. But yeah, it's just that warm place for people to come and sit down and relax and feel connected.
And so often when you talk to new people at a church, the first thing they say is, I didn't feel very welcome.
Yes.
You know, nobody came up to me and talked to me. That's their craving. That's their desire. It's really the desire of all of our hearts. Yeah. So if you start within your own congregation to do that, and then begin to grow bold enough to reach outside of the typical church circles, because here's the thing, our end goal for hospitality really isn't just to provide a safe place. It's not really just to, you know, give a comfy couch with a hot cup of cocoa. It is opening our doors and our homes so that then we can build this relational capital to open our lives up to, you know, those who we are welcoming in order that we can introduce them to the one who can make an eternal home for them. And that's really the difference in our hospitality as believers and the world's hospitality. Because let's face it, the world actually does hospitality fairly well. But what is the end goal? Ours should be different.
And that's where the holy comes in.
Right.
That separates
right.
us from the world that is so great. It's not just temporary, it's eternal. Give us some more pointers on how to make this a holy huga experience.
Well, there's seven: hospitality, relationships, well-being, atmosphere, comfort, contentment, and rest. And I think each one of us kind of lean really strongly in one of those directions already, and it will not come as naturally to lean in other directions. I will say, you know, the one I struggle with the most is probably contentment, and that's kind of how I fell into huga. I'm not originally from a Danish community. I'm not Danish at all, but my husband is. I was born in Phoenix, Arizona, and lived there for 22 years, and then married him and was brought all the way to the land of Scandinavia in our United States, of Minnesota. And if you know anything about the differences between Phoenix and Minnesota, the weather is so vastly and starkly different.
Yeah.
And the people are... the communities, the culture are quite a bit different. And I felt like I was drowning when I first moved here. And so just it was the Hygge piece that was so compelling to me, because here I saw all these people living in, you know, like below 30 degree weather for 9 months out of the year. Or at least it felt like that to me. The sun has all but abandoned our state. I was freezing. I knew no one. But I looked around and I saw all these people who were content in what I considered like, you know, a frozen tundra, just the bitter biting cold. And I couldn't wrap my head around it. But I leaned in closer and I saw it's this concept of Hygge that helps them be content. And so they're not just surviving here, they're really thriving. And so as we think about, let's say, contentment, one of the things that really helped me was this Danish phrase that the Danes always say, there's no bad weather, only bad clothing. No. Meaning, you know, you can't necessarily change your circumstances, but you can change your perspective of them. You can maybe prepare for them. And so when I think about that phrase, I think, how can I replicate that idea in lots of areas of my life? It's that putting off and putting on.
That's a good word. Put off the old and put on the new. And so maybe it's a mindset, perhaps, Jamie,
yes,
for people right now who are just having that old stinking thinking about the day and about the memories and about the past. And we get so caught up in that, it destroys our contentment. And we just don't feel that there's any way out of it because we've carried around all that baggage for so long. Maybe this is an encouragement to put on the new and think about, my friends, what would the new look like? And doesn't that just give your spirit a lift to think that you don't have to be carrying around that old baggage, and that contentment can be a part of our experience, regardless of whatever state we're in, whether it's Phoenix or Minnesota?
Right. And, you know, you chose the perfect word. You know, Hygge really is a mindset. It's a lifestyle. But that mindset can be shifted and almost nurtured in the right direction. It's an inward thing. But some of the outward practices and the rhythms that we put into our day, the habits that we create, actually will help us in our inward posture. And I think Jesus mirrored that for us. You know, he always met the need in a person's heart, but it usually came after he met the need in their hand.
Yeah.
Because the person who was sitting there starving, listening to him, you know, his words would be drowned out by their growling belly. And so he met their physical needs in order that he could open a door to meet their spiritual needs, which is what, you know, they really needed. But we need to remember that, yes, Hygge is a mindset. It's a lifestyle concept. But we can institute some practices and some habits and some rhythms. And the Danish people are very seasonal, so they have lots of seasonal rhythms to help us not just survive the moment, but thrive in it.
So setting the stage, what are some things that we practically can do to bring this lifestyle, this mentality into our home, other than just lighting scented candles?
Give yes, us some other that, that's usually the go-to that we grab for, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's talk about atmosphere for a second, because when you think of Hygge, especially on Instagram, it's beautiful. You know, it's minimalistic, it's clean lines, it's soft furnishings, it's wood, it's greenery. It's the thing of Instagram. Let's talk about atmosphere, though, for a second. When you look at Instagram, you're really just looking at stuff, right? And we can't all have the budget for stuff. But what we have to remember about atmosphere is it's not just the things that you can touch and see. Atmosphere encapsulates sights, but also sounds and smells. All five senses have to sort of coalesce and come together to create this hygge-ly atmosphere. So here's some practical things as we shift seasons from summer, and we're all like looking forward to fall rhythms, and we know that fall has a different rhythm than summer. So the first thing they have to do is sort of release and let go of what was, and know that, you know, the carefree days of summer are going to come to an end, and there's going to be a more rigidity perhaps to your fall schedule when kids go back to school and, you know, work cycles shift, that sort of thing. So that's part of the mindset, to know that, okay, one thing is ending and another thing is beginning. And then we're going to begin to sprinkle some things into our atmosphere. And for most of us, that's our homes, to set our mind towards the things of fall, both the good and the bad things of fall. And for me, you know, the bad thing would be that it's going to start getting bitterly cold. But here's how I brace myself for that.
Wow.
I set aside some specific activities that I only do in the fall so that I can look forward to those things. So now I've got my basket of crochet right next to my Bible study chair. I've pulled it out. Those are things that I don't do in the summer.
Yeah.
But now I can look forward to them in the fall. I set aside some specific recipes that I make in the fall, and I look forward to it. We don't eat chili in the summer, but by golly, I'm going to be getting the chili recipe out here in a few days. I set out some specific smells and scents. I'm a huge diffuser, but even if you're not, just to have like a particular smell that reminds you of the blessings and the gifts of fall. And then I begin to even fill my house with God's fall creation. Now hear me in this. I'm not encouraging anybody to go out and overspend. The Danish people, the hygge-ly lifestyle is very minimalistic. But God knows how to design the seasons, doesn't he?
He does.
He's the master designer, and he creates seasons with specific looks. So usually around this time, I go around my neighborhood and I just take a lovely walk and I look at creation and I begin to pull what I like to call just weeds along the highways and byways. And really it's just the yellows and the oranges and the brown flowers that are growing wild, and maybe some fall foliage. And I bring the outdoors in, bring God's creation in. So basically I'm just setting the stage for fall outwardly, so that my inward posture for fall is anticipation and not drudgery. And we can do that with every single season, because it is by God's design that every season in our lives, but also in creation, is different.
That's a good word. I needed to hear that, Jamie, because I just don't want to let go of summer. It's just so beautiful. And I love all the green, and there's always that, you know, you have to rip it from my cold hand to make me release it. But I've been enjoying some of the burning bush, you know, that's changing into the beautiful reds. And I'm just giving myself permission to, you know, embrace the next season and don't mourn the loss of summer. But like you were saying, see the fall for what it is. It's so beautiful.
And I think if we dig a little deeper, if you'll allow me that, God designed seasons in creation to really mirror so many seasons that we have in our lives. And that's part and parcel for this hygge-ly concept of, you know, the Danish people, if you think about it, are swathed in winter for like 9 months out of the year.
Yeah.
And when you think of winter, you usually think of like death and you look and everything looks dormant and fallow and nothing is growing and there's no life there. But we know that's not really true. We know that it's actually through winter that the earth can rest, that this hidden silent work of God digging deep roots happens. We don't see it on the surface, but it's happening below. So many things about spring and summer would not be possible without that dormancy of winter. So when you think of hygge and we think of like the deeper meaning and purpose, we can look to seasons of our lives where it looked like everything was dead and fallow and not growing. And where is the life? And when is the season going to be over? We know that one, it will be over. because seasons change.
Yeah.
And two, God can do amazing, hidden, silent, secret work during the winters of our lives. And that's why we have the springs and the summers of our lives and even the falls.
Such a beautiful word. I mean, there are benefits, right, to fall and winter, and that is the grass stops growing. So,
yeah.
You know, we don't have to worry about
right.
mowing 40 acres, you know, of land. And another beautiful thing is the bees. They go dormant over winter. We just have to kind of keep a teeny bit of an eye on them. But, you know, that's another task that doesn't have to be a part of an everyday. And so trying to see that benefit of when things go dormant instead of the loss. I am going to put together, though, a lovely shelf in my floor-to-ceiling window where I think I'm going to try to grow stuff over the winter and just use this opportunity to, you know, have a little indoor garden. So we'll see how that happens.
Yeah, my mother is a huge advocate for that. She always goes out, you know, early in March when it's still, there's still tons of snow on the ground here in Minnesota, maybe March, April, and she picks a twig off of a plant and brings it inside and forces it through warm air and light to bud. And it's just almost like healing to her heart that it's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. The green will come. The life will come again. We're not going to be buried in this forever.
Oh, it is that little sign of green hope. Now, Jamie, you've got some great resources. You've got hours and hours of accessible interviews with you, some thoughts, some podcasts. How do we get a hold of that?
Well, probably the easiest way is to go to jamieerickson.com, and you can listen to the Holy Huga podcast, as well as I have some free printable downloads of seasonal Huga ideas to get you from season to season of how you can extend those seven tenets of Huga to not just yourself and your family, but also to the rest of the world.
Beautiful. Thanks again, Jamie, for sharing your heart and your desire to see us embrace others and create a place of warmth. And thank you so much for being a part of Mark and Friends.
This was a wonderful conversation. Thank you again for having me.
And thank you, dear listener, for being a part of Mark and Friends, a ministry of Great News Media. If you ever missed a program or you heard one and you'd like to hear it again, they're always waiting for you and available. Just check out our website and click on Mark and Friends. God bless you and have a great day.